So wait, God is existing eternally. But sometimes he appears out of his own sweet will and enacts some pastime and then goes on to another place. Just like the sun. It may be finished here, but it's going on somewhere else, in Hawaii or whatever. So God is like that. Sometimes people will challenge, nobody has seen God, nobody can see God, or God can't come here, but why not? If he's God, it means that he has all power. And we understand the reason he comes is to give us a chance to come out of our conditioned state. We're all conditioned in the sense that we are under the law of nature. The nature is material nature, but we're spiritual. But still, we've come to this awkward situation of being under the law of nature. We have to grow old. We have to become diseased. We have to die. These things are really foreign for the soul. The soul is not meant to die. The soul is eternal. Become diseased and so on. So the Lord comes to reclaim us, to give us a chance to come out of this suffering condition, from this prison house of material life. And when he does come, then if we connect with him, we hear about him, or we chant his name, like we hear the Shri Ram Jayam or Bhagavati Raghava. These are different names of God, Hare Krishna we're chanting, name of God, so that we can connect with God and then gradually become liberated from this conditioning. So here in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we read a little bit about what the result of that connection will be. In chapter 4, text 7, Krishna says, Yada yada hi dharma syat hari bharata ayuktanam dharma syat atmanam shujami aham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious principles, O Arjuna, and upon the rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So the Lord, he comes for a purpose. He says, in order to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. And why? What is that? This is the verse we're going to read today. Janma karma cha me devyam evam yogeti tattvataha tattvadeva parajana naiti mameti sargana. Because one who knows the trinitary nature of my appearance and activities does not upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but he attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So before we start, we offer our obeisances to our spiritual master. And we see Bhakti Yudhanta. Omagyana Tiviranda Sya Janagana Salakayam Chaksu Svitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahavishnam Chavitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rukadama Yadadat Visa Bhantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Adhati Virada Shri Vasari Guru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. So, this is the kindness of the Lord. We understand that because we're all of the same nature as God, that we have independence. We can all feel that independence. Just like now, we can sit and listen, or we can get up and walk out. Nobody can check. We have some freedom. Because God is fully free, so we are made in His image. We're the same quality as God, so we have some independence. And when we choose to compete with God instead of cooperating with Him, then we come to the material world. So the message of the representative of God is always the same, whether it's Muhammad or Lord Jesus Christ or Buddha or Guru Nanak, Mahavira, whoever comes, they always give us the same message. You should get in harmony with the will of God. You should give up your competition with God. You should love God. You should cooperate with Him. Then you can again enter into the spiritual world. You can become liberated from the material world. Now, unfortunately, most people don't want to be liberated. They want to remain here. They think they have an advantage here in the material world. So we're appealing to the intelligent class of men and women to try to understand that actually this material world is problematic. We're not meant to be here. This is not our real home. This is like a testing ground. We, the soul, we have nothing to do with matter. But now we're caught up with matter. We're being carried by matter. We give the example of oil and water. The oil is being carried by the water. It doesn't mix with the water. Similarly, the soul, which is located in the heart of the living entity, is different than his body. And we can experience that. We have a small body, child's body. We can remember some of our activities at that time. But where is that child's body? It's no longer existing. Now we have a different body. So the body is changing, but we're the same person. Because we're the soul who is inside the body. Now, okay, let's say we establish that, everybody agrees, yes, I'm not this body, I'm pure spirit soul. But then what am I supposed to do? So therefore, the Lord comes to give us that, you can say, some activities. This is what we can do. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasaiva. We can hear about the Lord. We can remember the Lord. We can chant the Lord's name. We can serve the Lord. We can pray to the Lord. We can bow down to the Lord. These kind of activities will liberate us. And the other activities, where we compete with the Lord, they keep us bound up. But as I said, most of us are not very attracted to liberation. We're looking for an advantage here. We think if I can make more money, get a better education or job or something, better wife or husband, or, then I'll be happy. But actually, this is a foolish pursuit. An example is given. Suppose there's in the prison house, the prisoners are very much concerned to get some privilege. They want to become better class prisoner, where they have some certain privileges the other prisoners don't have. But from someone outside the prison, that's not a very attractive proposition. You're not thinking, wow, I wish I was like that prisoner. He can have a pack of cigarettes a week, and nobody else, the others can't. You won't think that's a very wonderful privilege, because you're outside the prison. So similarly, everybody in the material world is like a prison house in that sense, that they're trying to improve their condition, but they're still in the prison. Well, what do you mean prison? Yeah, the prison is, you have no choice. You have to grow old. You have to become diseased. You have to die. This is the restrictions of the prison. You may think you're free, just like if we have an animal, like a cow, tied with a rope to a tree. So the cow may think, I'm free. I can go on this side of the tree or this side of the tree. But actually, the cow is tied up. Similarly, we may think we're free. We can live in Texas or we can go to California. We're free. We're Americans. But that kind of freedom is not real freedom. Because there's a higher law that we can't escape. Nobody can escape. Nobody in this prison house can escape the sufferings. You may think, well, you're American, you have an advantage, but you still have to suffer. The three kinds of sufferings, from our own mind and body, who can deny that there's some trouble that's coming? Toothache, you stub your toe or something. Then there's trouble from other living entities. In another month or so, right, then the mosquitoes will come. Everybody's trouble. You have trouble with your boss, with somebody in the traffic coming ahead of you. There's trouble from other living entities, the dog barks. And then there's also trouble from the nature. Sometimes the tornado is coming. Sometimes it's too cold, too hot. So this is our condition. We may think, oh, that's only natural. But Krishna says there's another nature. Here he's mentioning it. You can attain to my nature. Come to my abode. So this is the idea. And because today, we're observing the appearance of Lord Rama, so it's a good time to remember and to hear about and to chant about the activities of the Lord. So we're going to read a little bit in the purport here. This is written by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, whose birthday is here. Again, I'll read the translation. One who knows the transitory nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but he attains to my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So Arjuna is, Krishna speaking to Arjuna. He's like his disciple. Therefore, the Lord descends, the Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead, one who can understand, is already liberated from the material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting his present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma-jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after entering his body, and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. So this is an important point. We say it says it's not at all easy, but for the devotee it becomes easy. How is that? Because when we really devote ourselves to the Lord, then the Lord from his side, he becomes involved in our life. He becomes, because he's a loving person. And when we reciprocate with him love, then he responds. And so, we don't have to do anything yet. All we have to do is love God. Well, Jesus Christ said the same thing. If you love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and your neighbor as yourself, then you can become perfect. So this is the same message that we're preaching. Please learn how to love God, and then God will take care of you. Just like if you have a child, the child loves you, so you naturally take care of the child. What is the question? He's your part and parcel. Simply, we're all part and parcel of God. If we love him, then naturally he'll take care of us. We don't have to worry about anything. Just like this small child doesn't have to worry. But the problem is, instead of loving God, we love these temporary things. First of all, we love our bodies. Oh, we go to the gymnasium, we go to the beauty parlor, we want to make our body so nice and fit and happy and healthy. But this body is not ourself. It's a temporary thing. Not that we hate the body, just like we have a car. We keep the car in nice maintenance. We don't really love our car. Or maybe some people do, but that's kind of strange, right? You don't go out and kiss your car or something. Because you see what it is. It's matter. The body is like that. The soul is what gives life. Therefore, Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself. The soul of the person is what gives life. As soon as the soul leaves, then the body begins to smell. And they have to take all the fluids out of it and put formaldehyde or something. Otherwise, very quickly, the bad smell is coming. So it's not the body that we should love, it's the soul. And Krishna is the soul of the soul. He's in everyone's heart. So we have to learn then how to, take our loving propensity and remove it from matter and put it to spirit. If we love the Lord and his representatives, those things that are connected to the Lord, because the Lord is absolute, so his name is also connected to him, that we can also love. We can love his intimate associates like Srila Prabhupada, or we can even give our loving propensity to his associates that are with him in the spiritual world, like here we see Krishna Radharani. So we can love Radharani. And those things that are connected, directly connected with the God, with the Lord, if we love them, then that will liberate us. Then Krishna will maintain us. He'll bring us to the spiritual world. But if we love the temporary things, then we have to remain in it because our loving desire is like a prayer. So if we're very much attached to material things like making money, getting position, becoming powerful, influential in this world, then at the time of death, we'll have to remain in this world. There's a common sense. Because God is in our heart, he'll give us what we desire. It's like a prayer. Oh, please give me, please give me. Okay, you want? Then here, you can have. But there's two factors. What you desire, like I'm just mentioning, but also what you deserve. So it's not enough just a desire, you have to also deserve. This is called karma in the material world. But if you come to the spiritual side, then there's no more karma. Then everything is absolute, non-dual. But there's still variety there. So that's some kind of subject, how what the spiritual world looks like, and how things are going on there. We can go deeper into that. Here, we'll finish this purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations. Advaita, Achyuta, Anadimananta Rupa. Although the Lord is one, there are many theoretical forms of the Lord. But they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this may be a little hard for us to understand, but the example is given, that you say there's a candle. The original candle has a light. Then if you take another candle and you light it, then you have the second candle. It has the same strength. So God is like that. He can expand, although He's one, He can expand Himself. So there are many forms of God. And there are the living entities are also part of God, and the material nature is also part of God, but the expansions are directly God. So God is one, but He has diverse energies. This is not very difficult to understand. It's like fire. Fire is one thing, but it has two elements. It has light and heat. So God is one, but He has diverse energies. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and inferior philosophers. So here Prabhupada's making the point, it's not just by scholarship we can enter into this mystery. We have to become a devotee. Then it will be revealed to us. The same idea is there also in the Bible, that this is revelation, not just by, we can't enter into the kingdom of God by our you can say, aggressive intellectualism. It won't carry us there. Because we're being checked. Why are we being checked? Because we're still envious of God. We're still competing with God. So why would God allow us to enter into His abode unless we can give up that contamination? He won't. He won't allow us to know Him by our dint of our empiric, inspection with our microscope and telescope. We think we're gonna understand the soul of the universe. This is foolishness. We can only understand this mystery by mercy, by the mercy of the Lord. So how do we get that mercy? That's being explained. We have to become the devotee. And then the Lord will be happy to reveal Himself, not by mundane scholarship and so on. And the Vedas have stated that the one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many physical forms in relationship with His unalloyed devotees. But God, again, God is one, but He can have a personal relationship with unlimited devotees. We shouldn't think, like here in the material world, we want to have an intimate relationship with somebody, then that's limited, because only so many people can have that kind of, not just like President Bush. He can only have so many intimate advisors. Otherwise, it's too much, right? He gets overloaded. But God is not like that. He can have intimate relationship with innumerable living entities. He does have. Not only can, but He does. And so, we should not be in anxiety. Oh, somebody else is a devotee, therefore I won't be able to be a devotee. No. It's not like that. Like we have anxiety in the material world. There can only be one or a number, maybe a select number of people who are on the board of the corporation. And we're thinking, oh, I want to be on the board, but somebody else is already there, so we become some anxiety. But it's not like that. In the spiritual realm, the more, the merrier. There's unlimited capacity. The Lord can reciprocate with us. He's in everyone's heart. So this is the one feature of the Lord. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita, personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who does not waste his time in philosophical speculation, attains the highest professional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can without a doubt obtain liberation. What is that truth? That God has a transcendental form. and that He is a loving person, and that He will reciprocate with us as we surrender unto Him. Then we can attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tatramasmi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, "You are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead," is certainly liberated instantly, and consequently, his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection. So, this is our goal. We want to attain perfection. And we're convinced that it's possible in this human form of life. We can attain perfection. Therefore, the Vedic apparition is Atata Brahma Jigyasa. Now, in this human form of life, you should use your valuable time to become perfect. And again, that perfection is simply to surrender to the will of the Lord. But in order to know the will of the Lord, we have to become qualified. So what is that qualification? We have to give up our sinful activity. This is common sense. God is pure, so we want to become intimately related with Him. Then we have to give up our lust and our greed and our anger and all these dirty things in our heart. So how can we do that? As mentioned, the best way to do that is to chant the name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today, now in a few minutes, we're going to have this Vedic ceremony where the Lord kindly allows us to approach Him in His murti form. This murti means that, as we're mentioning here, the Lord is one, but He has an unknowable form. So He agrees to become present even in what appears to be matter. The statue may be made of metal or wood or something material, but the Lord agrees to enter into that form so that His devotee can render service to Him. So the Lord has kindly agreed that we can perform that service. And in a few minutes, we're going to be coming forward, each one of us, and bathing the Lord. This is a way, this is a method of, you can serve Him, and it will purify us. Then afterwards, we'll be chanting more. This is also a form of purification. Why again do we want to be purified? So that God will be happy to embrace us. Right? Isn't that reasonable? And why would God embrace us if we're His enemy? If we don't like Him, if we hate Him, if we're competing with Him, if we're envious of Him? So therefore, the chanting is a way of practically getting rid of these dirty things. And how is that? Because Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of iron in the fire. The iron is not fire, it's cold and hard. But if you keep it in the fire, it becomes just like fire. So similarly, as we mentioned, God's name is like an expansion of God. It's also God. So if we keep ourselves immersed in the name of God, then we'll become godly. Not that we become God, but we'll become pure of the dirty things. Therefore, this chanting is considered as the easiest method for approaching the Lord. But again, that approach depends on the Lord. All we have to do is surrender to Him, do His will, and then He'll pick us up. We don't have to be in anxiety, "Oh, will I be successful?" No. All you have to do is think about how I can, honestly, even with some anxiety, how I can serve the Lord. If we have that kind of anxiety, instead of being anxious for our own position, which we all are, if we can change that anxiety to put God in the center, then we can be successful. So that requires a little faith, and that faith is best cultivated or generated in the association of those who are also faithful. And so if we take this process, associate like we're doing today, then we'll become qualified. So I don't know if we're ready.
Well, we can go on to six.
To six, yes. Well, anyway, I can stop for a minute if there's any questions. This is radical stuff we're preaching. If you're, either you should say, "Yeah, I agree, Swamiji, where can I surrender? What should I have to do?" Or you should say, "I don't believe it. This is just your propaganda." One or the other. You should take a position. Because we're challenging. We're saying then you're spoiling your human form of life by not devoting yourself fully to the service of the world. It means that you may have to remain here in the material world, where you have to go on suffering, birth and death. Okay, I didn't finish the purport. One can attain the perfectional stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation, simply so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, but by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. So here another important point about the mercy of the devotee of the Lord. We're talking about approaching the Lord and getting His mercy, but the Lord is more inclined to those who are serving His devotee. Just like we see Lord Jesus Christ like that, as the pure devotee of the Lord, the pure son of the Lord. Therefore, the advice that He gave was, you should come to Me. Isn't it? Christians always beat us on the head with that verse, right? There's no other way. You have to go to God through Me. That's good. Then, I mean, they take it in the wrong way, but the advice is good. Then you have to approach God through His representative. So Christ was one such representative, but generally we need a current link. So maybe you can approach the Pope or your minister or priest or something. If you feel that he's also purely representing Christ, then he can help you. That's the general system. Not that we can, you can say, go to God without help, without some help. So we need to be trained up, and the people who train us are called the representatives of God or the devotee of God. So what is their qualification? The first qualification is they're also being trained or have been trained by a bona fide spiritual master. Then they're qualified to represent. They're not claiming this is my knowledge. They're saying, no, I got this knowledge from my spiritual master, I got it from his spiritual master. And that's confirmed also by the Shastra. Just like the Christians have the Bible. So we have Bhagavad Gita. So these things should be, you can say, checked. The spiritual master is saying something, but the Bhagavad Gita says something else, then we can question. Well, why is it, Guruji, you're saying this, but Krishna says something else? And so this is the kind of authority for us, the Shastra, we call it, or scripture. Then, what are the qualifications to be spiritual master? The spiritual master has no other business. Everything he does is to glorify God. He doesn't have some separate interest. If we examine carefully, we'll see that everything that he's doing is to make God and God's representative glorified. Another qualification of the spiritual master is that in his own conduct, it's clear that he's free from sinful life. We were describing this morning that the living entities in the conditioned world are all troubled by some, it's called pushing. What's the Sanskrit word?
Urjas?
Vega. He's like a pushing. Appetite. We all have an appetite for sin. Some kind of pushing. We're being pushed by the anger, being pushed by our mind. We're being pushed by the tongue to talk and to taste. Being pushed by the belly, pushed by the genital. So these pushings implicate us. They keep us separate from God. Therefore, one who's claiming to be the representative of God, we have to see practically, is he still a servant of these vedas, of these pushings? Therefore, is it right that the disciple should associate with the spiritual master over a period of time till he becomes convinced that this person is representing the parampara, we say, the disciple succession, not that he's claiming to be independent authority. So, in this way, we should find out such persons who can help us to progress. We want to make progress. That's nice. Everyone has some good intention. But we have to have some scientific method how to make progress. We don't have some knowledge. Sometimes it's said that the road to hell is paved with good intention. We may have good intention, but because we don't have the information, what is the best way to proceed, we may create trouble for ourselves. So the guru is required to keep us on the proper path. And what is that proper path? To, first of all, always keep ourselves humble. This is a big lesson, the first important lesson that the guru will impart to us, that we should be humble. What is our qualification? We are born in ignorance. We don't know the purpose of life. We don't know what's going to happen to us when we die. So therefore, we shouldn't be so arrogant. We should keep ourselves in a humble position. Then we can be guided by the spiritual master, by Krishna, and then our progress will be unheeded. But if we become proud, then how can we progress? Because the proud person doesn't think he needs any help. They say that in general, men are more proud than women, right? And then one of the proofs is that if a man is lost, he won't ask for directions. I mean, it's hard to bring this. Because that means you have to humbly say, my dear sir, if you tell me which way to go, I'm lost. But they find that it's harder for men to do that. Because every man has his ego, you know. Women are more simple. That's why generally in the church and the temple, more women come. Because they like it, they can bow down to the deity and feel it feels good for them. Because it's their nature more, to be guided by the man. But if the man is intelligent, then he says, yeah, I also need guidance. Why should I be proud? I'm in an awkward position. But that's the kind of men we're looking for, who are a little intelligent, to accept guidance. We can guide, but one has to be willing to be guided. Prabhupada used to say that one man who can see, he can guide thousands of blind people. So Srila Prabhupada is our guide. His books are here for the next 10,000 years. We are pleading with you. We have these books in the bookstore here. You should all have some books, especially this Bhagavad Gita by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhagavatam. So many books are there. So let us all be guided by him. He's ready to guide us. He's giving us this method, this philosophy, this process. It's very